So for a second, she thought that was Laura using a face aging app. You have no authority here, Laura.
And as the evening fades, we're back. Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good welcome, one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast, Doctor Who, Directionless Commentary, Blu-ray Special Edition, Box Set Special. We are joined once again by Morgan, who isn't being cheated on, so that's fine. We've got all that sorted. Laura has sadly left us to go and be the clerk of a parish council. And brilliantly, having watched the video yesterday, John and I can't remember the woman's name. It's just because our finger is that much on the pulse. We are on about day 94,512 of lockdown. I think we're on the 9th lockdown now. And basically the only person who hasn't got lockdown here at the moment is Morgan. Oh, the joys of being fucking young.
I think that you're only saying that we're on day such and such and lockdown number 9 so that you can spread the release of these podcasts out. So... You actually released this in May or June when we are in lockdown 9.
And it was just then we are at war with Eurasia.
I'm currently waiting for my ticket to get on board the ship to go to the new colony on Mars. the person who is rumbling my plans there, of course, is the lovely Laura.
Hi.
And the person over there who's agreeing with her is the increasingly bouffanted John.
Hello.
And somewhere under a blanket with perfectly good hair is Morgan.
Hello.
I love the fact she grins first and then remembers she has to talk. I am, of course, me. And we are back together because we are going to watch today a very special episode, an episode that means an awful lot to all of us, but especially to Laura. It's a secret favourite episode ever. She talks about Turn Left as a cover story for this episode, and I give up. I don't care anymore. I'm knackered. What are we watching?
We're watching The Doctor... I can't remember the bloody name of the episode. It's The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
That's it. And why are we watching this?
To fill the gap between series 6 and 7.
But so basically, essentially, this episode is we had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Someone got to drink.
We're gluttons for punishment.
And then I remember that it's almost an hour long.
It is. According to my... Sky Qbox update, they have all the extra episodes on there. They have a little folder called Other.
Nothing.
Which is superb.
Are you sure you didn't just find this one in a folder called Shit?
Well, I guess that comes under Other. There's good, there's bad, there's Other.
Morgan wants to know what we're drinking to get through this.
I'm at the moment actually on tea.
I'm on Rubicon.
I'm on water.
I'm on nothing. I've decided just to torture myself by dehydrating through this.
You're okay.
I do have some wine left in a bottle that's well within reach. I've got a glass, but I don't think anyone really cares about that.
This episode, though, John, does reduce your water percentage by about 40-50%. You will end up drier than the Sahara by the end of this episode. It will just soak you up. You'll be left as a crispy husk.
I'll be telling Morgan to moisturise me.
Morgan looks terrified at that prospect.
Absolutely. I didn't sign up for this.
I think I saw... Morgan. I think I saw Crispy Husk at Leeds Festival about 10 years ago. They were very good. Now that my Kevin Spacey joke has been taken away from me, damn you, Christopher Plummer, dying like that.
Google Crispy Husk, you get lots of chicken.
That doesn't... Yeah, I think I prefer my joke.
It's all chicken and crackers.
It's the only joke I've got left now. Now I can't say Christopher Plummer is replacing Kevin Spacey and everything. I now left to just pick two random words and claim they're a band. That's it. That's my entire comedy output now.
Saturday.
Yeah, Moisturising Morgan were also on it that year as well. So.
Okay, I'll water
over myself. Oh, God, no, no, don't pour water over your own head. That's not going to end well.
Yeah, I'm just worried that we're surrounded by kind of electrics. Just because we want to die live on podcast. Which, to be honest, remembering the episode that we're about to watch may not be the worst thing.
So, before we go into it, why does no one like this episode? Because you know me, I can't remember. I won't remember what it's about until the screen starts moving. Oh, Sky Q Expert update. Oh, we've done that bit. Yeah, so why don't people like it? What's wrong with this episode?
Because it's boring.
Okay, that'll do.
It wastes Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
That's, it has a shocking story.
That's strictly champion Bill Bailey to you.
That's true. He doesn't even get to dance in this.
He was wasted in this completely.
Just when you said that Strictly champion mobility, yeah, it's just like you give that the same, you cover them the same way that if someone becomes like an OBE or something.
Yeah.
You have to say he's a knight of the realm now.
Yeah, this is it. In the same way that it's now continuously Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Even when he orders pizza, it's now officially Strictly champion Bill Bailey.
Oh, really?
I can't remember.
50s throwback, Mark Lamar.
I will say that nobody says Andy Murray because that just sounds silly.
Sir Andy Murray?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, they don't, do they? And isn't it Sir Tim Henman as well?
It's because he's only Scottish.
I don't think so. Because he's only Scottish. Sorry,
he's only Scottish. Unless he's winning something, then he's British.
That's very, very true. The Scottish former Wimbledon winner is currently injured, I believe. But Britain's great tennis hope will be appearing at the Australian Open sometime in the near future, possibly.
Oh, God, sorry. I've just skipped forward into the episode and I've still got subtitles on. And it just came up with two bits of subtitles from the episode. The first one was Arg. and the second was something along the lines of Get This Silly Thing Off. even I play this.
It's a meta reference within the.
He groans is the next one. I'm just skipping forward to see what the subtitles are. Door opens, that one doesn't work.
Sorry, subtitles tell you the door opens.
Yes.
Okay.
Dolls with comical expressions, the Magna Carta, a foot spa. There's an interesting quote to look out for. Got something to look forward to in this episode.
The Magna Carta foot spa.
The Magna Carta foot spa.
That sold well back in the day, not to be fair. Okay, then. Well, as Laura's already jumping ahead several parts of the story.
I'm trying to get through the episode as quick as possible, so I really don't mind just doing let's just go to 10 minutes and see what's happening and then skip for 10 minutes.
Look, I don't mind doing that. We got into enough shit.
This episode is a decade old. I've watched it once and that was on release.
We got into enough shit for skipping forward a minute. Do you really think we're going to get away with going every 10 minutes?
I'm
prepared to try. It's not me that has to deal with it.
It'd be really good if Laura completely reappraised this episode.
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
I watched once 10 years ago and it was terrible, and she just walks away just going, that was one of the best episodes of Doctor Who. I mean, I don't fancy the chances.
It's not going to happen. That is not going to happen because it's not.
But it might. It might.
Even if it did happen, you'd just be like, no, I'm not admitting that.
I mean, what if this is...
No. If I enjoy it, I will disappear right at the end of the episode, not to give my opinion. You will know that I've enjoyed it. Just simply, I won't be here.
I mean, genuinely, what if this is...
Jackie in charge.
Thank you, Jackie.
That's my authority here.
Actually, on that note, very quickly, before we go into this, I was watching the Liverpool press conference yesterday. And obviously it's all done virtually, so you only see the manager, you don't see anybody anymore. And this disembodied voice suddenly said, hello, Jürgen, hello, Jackie, which completely and utterly confused the German Liverpool manager, who had no idea what was going on, and equally completely confused the press officer of the club, who had no idea what was going on and didn't know who Jackie was. So it was quite nice to see a journalist trying to be trendy and hip and do a current gag, and it fall flat on his arse.
We should tie her into Jackie Tyler somehow, but...
Oh, God, can you imagine if Jackie Tyler had been secretary of that meeting?
Yes, that is this.
Right, anyway, right. So, we are about to enjoy, and I'm using the term in the loosest sense of the word, the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. This is Laura's favourite episode, and I have a sneaking suspicion that by the end we're going to discover this is the best episode ever. I don't fancy our chances. So, dear listener, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through all the great moments in this hour-long special. Are we ready, children?
Let's do it.
No.
Excellent. On that, then.
I wasn't this depressed about something fair.
Good luck. You don't get to complain because you did the list.
I will say this starts a sequence of episodes I'm just not looking forward to, with the exception of the 50th. Everything we're doing with the 50th, yes, I'm looking forward to that. This is the whole Series 7 and Series 8. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, but again, you did the list.
Yeah.
So, on that note, and remembering whose fault this is, let's dive into this Doctor Who festive special. In featuring the one, the only, the great dancer that is Bill Bailey in three.
Can we just do Asylum of the Daleks? Can we just not pretend this doesn't exist? No, okay, fine. No. Fine, let's start.
Look,
start
I'm going to do the countdown anyway, regardless of you constantly interrupting to try and stop me. 3, 2, 1, and play. See, it's off to a good start. You've got a picture of the Earth. What more could you want? That's nice. And a Star Wars reference there. That's nice.
And it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. No, that was good.
Yeah, because they're heading into the Earth. So of course, it's downhill.
Hey!
I did earlier on about talking about the wonderful parts of this episode. I thought it was going to be like that John Cage piece of music, you know, 4 minutes, 33 seconds, with just silence. Just do a podcast of silence.
We should have done when we were dealing with the silence. That would have been meta and ironic and fitting or something.
This is true. Oh, look, it's the whole budget for the episode being used up in the first minute.
It really is, isn't it? But I have to say, I thought the effects were really, really good for the ship, for Doctor Who.
This is a great start. We're like, ooh, explodey. But you don't need a plot with those explosions. That's
no.
I would take a minute of this and just...
I'd have taken an entire hour of just running around waving the sonic screwdriver.
Oh, yeah, an hour. This isn't a minute long, is it? It's an hour. Shit.
Yep. An entire hour of him running around waving his sonic and things blowing up. I'd have been quite happy with that. He wouldn't even care who the monster was. Brilliant.
I don't even remember who the monster is. Is the monster humanity?
I think the monster is within us all.
Oh, God. Chibnall must go. Did you not do a whole series of that? There wasn't really a monster. Was long. It's just an alien. We should all love one another.
I think
can't swim in space.
He can't breathe in space either yet, apparently.
Wait. Balance awful.
That is terrible, isn't it? And also, you can't... I was going to say you can't fly through the atmosphere like that, but we know someone else who did a couple of years ago, so...
Yeah, the Doctor's not a Jedi.
We don't know that. We've never seen him. Who? We've never seen him.
Exactly. I forgot that Claire Skinner was in this.
He's never seen him in the same room as Luke Skywalker, so you don't know that they aren't the same person.
Well, up until this episode, you've never seen him in the same room as Claire Skinner.
That's very true. Maybe he's really Claire Skinner.
Although, no. I know that's not the case. But of course, Doctor Who's one of these shows that even if you do see him in the same room as somebody else, it could just be a multi-Doctor episode.
I've just realised, actually, a Doctor episode with the Andy Hamilton comedy family, the name of the sitcom has escaped me, with Hugh
Outnumbered
Dennis.
Outnumbered is what you're thinking.
Outnumbered, yeah. Put the Doctor in an episode of Outnumbered. That'd be great.
I would have taken that. That would have been better than this.
Unfortunately, you can't do that now because the youngest kid in Outnumbered is probably just like about to retire.
I think they are. Yes,
he's only in his late 20s. It's fine.
Yeah, but he has got a drug habit.
And does have the family tradition to continue as well. So
exactly. When did he get into a space suit? As I understand it, he'll be appearing in Strictly in 5 years' time.
That's what he was doing when he was kind of flying through the atmosphere. It was trying to clamber into that spacesuit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense. It doesn't.
I know it looked like he was involved in an orgy with a giraffe. One last hurrah before you burn up in the atmosphere. Like, come here, giraffe.
Isn't that Scott wearing glasses?
I'm not allowed to make jokey comments anymore.
Oh,
my generic ginger child. He's ginger, but we love him.
Yeah, but you live in Scotland, you had to have a ginger one. That's just the rules.
Absolutely.
He's ginger, but we love him. That's going to be the title of his autobiography in 50 years' time.
Exactly. One of those kind of real life tragedy stories that you always see, like a child called It, a boy called It.
When did this turn into an episode of Pointless?
When Alexander Armstrong became involved.
There you go.
I was going to say that the moment Laura decided they were going to watch this one is pointless.
I mean, surely you can turn the space helmet around.
Yeah, the reason for that comes up.
Because it isn't really him.
She can't identify it when that becomes important to the plot.
Oh
my God, you're knowledgeable about this episode, John. Uh-huh. It's terrifying.
Yeah, she hasn't seen Matt Smith yet, so there will be a point where it's important that she doesn't know what Matt Smith looks like.
Oh, wow, well, that all makes sense
now. This would be a perfect way of doing a regeneration.
What, just...
Yeah.
Like, they're doing this stupid flying through space thing as the Doctor's regenerating, and then having the Doctor in a spacesuit like this for the first 10 minutes of the episode, not knowing what is inside.
I love that idea. I love that idea. Oh, speaking of Chris Marshall, because we haven't talked about him this episode, there are now rumours that Ben Miller is going to return to Death in Paradise.
Ben Miller had a cameo in Death in Paradise.
He did. He
did.
Did
he not? Spoiler alert. I thought his character was killed off.
Well, I thought he
was killed off.
Yeah, I thought he was.
This was the equivalent of Death in Paradise, the equivalent of the Three Doctors.
Yeah.
And they flew him. I'm not sure we should be spoiling this because it literally just aired last night.
Oh, trust me, by the time people get to listen to this, it'll be already on UK Gold.
Yeah. Ben Miller clearly stressed out by lockdown, and he just said, "Look, we can get you to Tropical Island. You could probably kick him out here for 2 weeks if you film a one scene cameo for a 10th anniversary episode." I went, "Okay, I'm in," and I think he's on the screen for like about 15, 20 seconds or something.
Yeah, about that. It was about that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, that comment there, if people keep reading about the war, then it will happen, is very much if we stop getting tested, then there'll be no virus. Yes.
Yeah, if you stop testing people, the numbers will go down.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same where you guys are, but right now there's a massive advertising campaign in Glasgow, and it's all these posters just saying, coronavirus, act as if you've got it.
I tried that, but they will not stick a ventilator down my throat.
That's what I've been doing. I've rewritten my will. I've been just kind of trying to lie about in bed all day, just feeling really sorry for myself. And my wife's not wearing it.
That's just wrong, isn't it? It's interesting, actually. I started, through no fault of my own, I got told how to watch It's a Sin. I started watching that last night, which I didn't want to watch because I don't particularly think Russell T Davies is the new messiah to modern television. And last time I checked, life is bleak enough without making it bleaker. But the parallels between how people were talking about this virus that might possibly be killing gay people and now, and how people are talking about a virus that is killing all of us, were quite stark, I thought. That's what I've got to say on that.
Is there a Deus Ex Machina at the end?
I have no intention to find. I wasn't really watching that. It was just kind of on, and I kept wandering off. But someone told me that she didn't want to watch it on her own, so I had to come and sit in the room, and then I kept leaving.
from previous Russell T Davis writing, I just imagine at the end, for some reason, David Tennant kind of glows a wee bit in the day. just draws on.
I loved when he did that at the end of Queer as Folk. He didn't have to do it during a sex scene. I thought that was overkill.
I thought it fitted kind of well. I mean, it was a bit over the top.
Don't
certain...
say fitted.
This does feel a little bit like Stephen Moffat is trying to recreate a 1980s kids TV show, and not the one we're watching.
Yeah. Here you go.
Ah, that's why. Clever.
And she can't say, "Hey, you're the guy that was in that space suit."
No, clever.
But I thought Laura was going to go somewhere with what she was saying. It'd have actually been quite cool had they even brought David Tennant back. And the beginning sequence was David Tennant falling to Earth. She rescues David Tennant. And then it flashes forward to the most of the episode being about Matt Smith almost kind of giving her payback for saving
that,
his life.
That would have been superb.
Yeah. It'd have been like a kind of slight multi. You'd probably hold this in higher regard if it's like, oh
yeah,
they Ben Millered them.
Yeah, if they'd Ben Millered it,
yeah.
Or as it's known, Ben Miller time.
Ben Miller time.
Other outdated advertising references are available.
Pointless. I mean, we might be getting to that bit that I was talking about, but I've already forgotten what the piece of dialogue was.
Something Magna Carta and a football.
Well, something Magna Carta, that was it.
Yeah, how could you forget that?
Yeah, let us know when we get there.
I mean, as someone who has been a massive fan of Article 61 over the course of the past couple of months,
I mean, where would we be without the Magna Carta? I mean, it defines our entire existence at this point in time, which is...
As someone that grew up in Salisbury, where there is a copy of the Magna Carta, trust me, yes, it does define our entire existence, because the people down there are just like, here's a piece of paper in a shiny box.
The Magna Carta is my favourite ice cream.
I mean, I don't think the Magna Carta gets enough credit for the level of foresight that was written into it.
Oh, I know.
That they knew in... 200, when was it written? 7, 10?
11.
11 something.
12 something, it's 12th century, I think.
Yeah. So, what's that, 6, 8? Actually, if it's 1200s, we're talking, what, 1,000 years now?
1215. It was 1215.
Yeah.
It was only a couple of hours ago, so...
Yeah, that's true. So many, 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 many years ago, they preempted the fact there was going to be a global pandemic, and they put all the things in place to help people not have to deal with it.
They did.
Which I just thought was an amazing insight, and they cared enough about the people to let them die. Oh, hello, hammocks. Where do they come from?
He's just trying to impress everyone right now.
I have tried to impress a girl by dropping my hammock, but it didn't end well.
Given the setup of this episode,
yeah,
and given how good Outnumbered could be at its best, and given how good what we did on our holidays, if you've seen that.
I still haven't.
Which was the David Tennant film written by Andy Hamilton and Guy.
Yes.
Guy. Had they done this episode as Matt Smith and the rest of the characters... But they had allowed the kids to be unscripted in the way that...
Outnumbered does. Yes.
That would have been incredible. I highly recommend what we did on our holidays. If you've not seen it, it's fucking brilliant.
I think
Billy Connolly.
Yeah, I think it was on my list, and it kind of fell off the radar a little bit, and I think I had to delete it.
It's so well done, and it's because it's just outnumbered the movie.
Yeah.
In the same way that Shaun of the Dead is good, because it's spaced to the movie, effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Outnumbered, like you said, at its peak, was absolutely scintillating comedy. It was.
Yeah, it went on a little bit. It went on a little bit too long, but it was very, very good.
Yeah, when it hit top form, it was absolutely stellar comedy. Oh, Matt's doing his sad face.
So I suppose to an extent, she might have been quite annoyed by just the typecasting. Bring me in here, and we're doing this.
Yes. And then we've got some kids. And it'd be even funnier if the kids did not know how to ad-lib as well. And so the whole thing just fell apart, and the kids just like, oh, well, am I supposed to put a cutesy 1940s child comment in here? Yeah. Where's the PlayStation?
Yeah, that would have done it. Oh, don't forget to delete your browser history. Has that joke finally died? Obviously not in Doctor Who, but...
I think it's used in the Capaldi era.
No, I know it's used there, but...
It's on the Sonic...
No, I know sunglasses. That. I know that, Sonic sunglasses. I meant in the more wider context as a standard comedy...
In fact, it's used once in Matt Smith's, which is the Delete Browser History on the in the 11th Hour. I think it's used twice with the Sonic sunglasses. Is it not also used in Twice Upon a Time?
Yes, it is. I was talking in the wider...
Not William Hartnell.
Yes.
Mike Hartnell puts him up.
Yeah, I was talking more in the wider comedy sense of it becoming a stock line in average comedians.
I think it's always going to be there until something comes along to usurp the internet, then, yeah.
Ah, right. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen a live comedian, I don't know if people even still tell jokes anymore on stage.
Well, they don't at the moment.
No, will they ever again?
Oh no, not a glowing box.
Yeah, I'd get that checked out.
Yeah.
imagine if it had been Alexander Armstrong's body inside there. I found it for you. Here you go, I'm wrapping your Christmas present. It's a corpse.
I was going to try this up the next point, but it turns out this was a fixed point in time. Because that's the first rule of kind of Doctor Who, especially in the Moffat era, is it's a fixed point in time unless it isn't.
Yep, that's how that works. And so I could have saved his life, but it was a fixed point in time. You just didn't want to, did you?
I could go back to save Amy and Rory, but I'm not going to.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to, but I will go back and save your husband.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit riffing on the first Amy Pond episode as well. Strange doors and kid in the house and all the rest of it.
I think they're having a lot of episodes that have utilised doors during the Moffat era.
Yeah, he did like a door.
It's a bit of a trope, isn't it?
Yeah, he's forever opening doors.
I'm hard pushed to think of an episode where he didn't use that gimmick. Are we going to get out of here, Doctor? What about the door? Oh, again?
Yeah, but...
Must go.
You don't need to wave your sonic screwdriver at it, Doctor. It's already open.
And do you know, that's the thing as well. Chibnall's doing the same thing.
Do you know what? There's doors everywhere, isn't it?
Doors, absolutely.
Might as well call it Doctor Who. Hey, there we go. I'll take the rest of the day off, thanks, carry on. I mean, there's no way the floor of that loft is strong enough to take the TARDIS.
How much does the TARDIS weigh?
It's got to be at least a couple of cows.
Yeah, maybe, but maybe not, because it's...
It can be picked up by a crane. We know that.
Yeah.
It can be picked up by a crane.
So can two cows.
That is true, although the cows would have to be either tied together or performing a particularly brilliant balancing act.
how weird would it be if someone actually went and used CGI to replace every shot of TARDIS? And you've got that scene
to
the Doctor, you see Matt Smith
hanging on. Oh, that would be absolutely super. Thing is, where would you put the door?
Oh, we've landed, Doctor.
Yes. Oh, look, you now have a doorbell. Don't pull it. I'm liking this plan. We could actually turn the whole thing into
Countryfile.
Yes.
Oh, Creatures Great and Small could get Peter Davison back.
Yeah. This is the way to go.
I put the key in here somewhere. Again, possibly not the medium for that joke.
I do love visual jokes on a podcast. They always work so well. If anybody actually understood what John's joke was, do let us know. is this perhaps some kind of reference to Narnia for some reason?
I can't think what makes you think that.
I can't think so either.
It's a snotty tree.
It's a ball of Turkish delight.
Yay!
This is a direct reference. This is a direct reference to the Narnia book, Prince Caspian. As for the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe is a direct homage to.
I thought it was Void the Dawn Treader.
Oh, yeah, it could be. I always get it mixed up. I'm like a Narnia racist.
They all look the same to you. I kind of always liked the fact that C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were friends and contemporaries, and they had very, very different views of the same world.
Mm.
Different ideas in world building as well.
Yes, very much so. Why would you keep a stuffed head of a polar bear in a child's bedroom?
It's evil.
Did you not grow up with a polar bear head?
No, I had an elk.
Oh, I see.
We were quite fancy. We had a real one.
I mean, that must have been quite good during the recession of the 80s because you had there's quite a lot of meat on a polar bear.
That is.
If you can get close enough.
Yeah, you have to keep it fresh.
Yeah, it was always cold in Glasgow, so you're fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even in summer. Morgan's just ignoring us now and actually watching the episode. She's just like, that's...
No, this is annoying me because she's going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, I hope... In a lot of ways, I really hope she does because it's nice to find something you really like watching, but also because it will really annoy Laura.
I mean, what's not to love? There's beautiful scenes with snow and that's it.
Yep. And
I didn't enjoy it when I watched this on Christmas Day.
Look, you see, there's trees.
How am I going to enjoy it in February when the last snow we had was over a week ago?
Well, except you say that, by the time people listen to this, it will have snowed again, so it'll seem quite current.
Yeah, contemporary. That's the thing as well. It's like, you know, when you're watching stuff on television, it's like shows from it. Like, I suppose when you're watching Frasier and stuff, you'll just, sometimes in the middle of July, they'll just have to, because it's the next episode up, throw up a Christmas episode.
Well, funnily enough, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Muscovitz is coming up. I think it might have already been recorded. So that was on again last Thursday. And nothing makes you enjoy a Christmas episode like watching it in the start of February when you're still crawling through lockdown and it still feels like Christmas. And it's just an endless trudge of Christmas. And by that I mean spending time with people you don't really like spending time with and you can't go anywhere. Did everyone tell you I don't enjoy Christmas?
Yeah, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
It feels like it is at the moment.
Yeah. Perpetually drunk and disappointed by gifts.
Yay! Oh, you'll be pleased to know we're going to get interrupted by the Amazon man again.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I did enjoy that last week.
It really made the episode come alive, I felt.
Wow.
For those of you who care about such things, today's delivery is tea bags and a tub of Marmite.
Ooh. That is quite eclectic.
It is.
Yeah. I do like a cup of tea and Marmite.
Well, you know what they say about tea, either love or hate it.
That's true. You often describe someone as they're very sort of tea.
So you just buy everything from Amazon?
No.
Tea and Marmite's a strange Amazon delivery.
Well, it's more the fact that it's the only place I can find that it sells giant bag of tea bags.
okay.
It's a supply of tea bags that lasts me about 3 months.
Ah.
I discovered them in the last lockdown, or the first lockdown, one of the lockdowns. And the Marmite is a tub, basically a catering jar of Marmite.
A tub of Marmite?
Not a jar, it's a fucking big tub.
I used to just get my Amazon delivery driver to swath it through the letterbox.
Well, if he does that today, that's just going to be coming through a tea bag at a time, and he could be there a while. I had a really weird thing actually with Amazon last week. They suddenly decided that one of the things I ordered was there was a problem with the address. It's like I haven't moved. I'm using the same address I've been using forever. Someone just forgot to write the address down on the label properly. So I had to wait an extra day for a CD I wasn't asked about. It was terrible.
I had that once where an Amazon delivery driver clearly couldn't be bothered, said that my delivery address didn't exist. And such a pain in the backside. And I was just really, what do you mean it doesn't exist? I've not moved. I've not changed. I've been here for God knows how long. And Amazon, that was the only time I've had discussion with Amazon where they're quite arsey about it. Are you sure your address exists?
Well, I remember when my dad first moved to Bristol, he gave me his address, and Amazon told me it didn't exist, and they gave me an alternative one, and it was just like a comma was in
it. Sent here instead.
Yeah, all it was a comma was in a different place.
And now you've got a new dad.
What kind of address has a comma in it?
Where he was living somewhere complicated because it was a flat and a street and a round the back and upside down. Oh, it was Bristol. It's weird.
True.
Oh, I've just remembered. Yes. This is where we go from Narnia to Middle Earth.
It used to be.
The effects were a lot better at the start of the show, weren't they?
There we are.
I'm pretty sure I've looked away for 5 minutes and missed nothing.
There was a very important clue in one of those little silver bauble things.
What was the clue? Switch off now. Just walk away. Walk away. There's nothing to see here. Nothing is of any relevance.
Sadly not, no. Look, it's exciting. They're in a wood and there's torches. How could you not be excited by this?
How can I not be excited by shaky camera?
Yeah, shaky camera signifies danger. We know this is how it works.
I've said this before. The Christmas episodes, you've got this kind of bizarre kind of paradox where you hold it to a higher standard because you're expecting something big because it's a festive episode, but also at the same time, You almost let it get away with more on account of the fact that you've not seen Doctor Who in months and you're just willing to watch anything.
Yeah. It does kind of make me worry a little bit about the new series when it finally lands. Because it's going to be shit. And we won't care because we haven't seen it in so long.
But people are already preempting how shit it's going to be.
That's true.
And how it's destroyed the canon.
Everything destroys the canon. Bill Bailey isn't canon.
Bill Bailey is not canon now.
Never was.
I mean, why would you put Bill Bailey in and not give him an instrument?
Well, you can argue he's got a gun that could double as a banjo.
Even just a couple more of facial expressions that when he used to actually do quite a good job of just coming out with
just the old man, just the whole confused.
Yeah, this is it. He's quite a visual comedian and quite a physical actor if you give him the space, rather than encase him in a bad suit.
stick him in a suit. Can't really move much. No music to showcase your talents. You are literally just here for a name.
Yep,
that's the only reason.
Why am I thinking Johnny Vegas has done one? Has Johnny Vegas done a Christmas special?
I don't think so.
Has he not?
God, now you've got me wondering. I don't think he has.
I thought he had. I thought he'd done one of the later ones. Or I might be getting confused with Nick Frost.
Yeah, Nick Frost is Nick Frost.
Nick Frost was Santa.
Yeah.
And last Christmas.
Now, arguably, Nick Frost is not as good a physical actor as Bill Bailey, and yet they gave him free rein and arms to move with.
Well, this is one of the few kind of celebrity I wouldn't say cameo, because obviously he's got a bigger role than a cameo, but not a big enough role to be. This is one of the times when they get a kind of celebrity name in, if you will, where it is actually not utilised.
Yeah.
Can I add the most recent appropriation of that? Because I think it's very similar in terms of how that character and the actor is used. And that's Lee Mack.
Yes, no.
Lee Mack in Kablam.
God, yeah.
Who's in it for the first 30 seconds and killed off. And that's it.
I'd even forgotten he was in Kablam.
But that's almost slightly, it kind of harkens back to kind of the old kind of 70s TV stuff like Columbo, where you get somebody famous in and they're either going to be the killer or the victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose to an extent you could almost forgive the whole Lee. Like, there's Lee Mack there. Oh, bye, Lee Mack. Oh, don't get used to Lee Mack. He's gone.
It's not like Moffat's the only person to do this. I mean, Ken Dodd.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's a random phrase. Ken Dodd. What's Ken Dodd done?
Huh?
Ken Dodd's in Delta and the Bannerman.
Yeah.
Season 24.
I've managed to wipe that from...
Fuck all.
I've wiped that from my memory.
Yeah.
Is that nice? Oh, shit, that's coming, isn't it? That's the next... Oh, God.
It's not the next one. The next one's season 8.
Oh, you've got season 24 to look forward to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Lovely season before McCoy gets good.
Yeah. Good.
I've said this before. I think that the only honest to God terrible story in season 25. I mean, by the way, none of them are of the standard of 25 and 26. The only honest to God bad ones: Time in the Ranny, Paradise Towers is great. Delta and the Bannerman's just really off. It's offbeat, and I really like it. And Aces at Dragonfire. So
offbeat is just another way of saying shit.
I like the beat that it's off.
to be fair, I've watched part of Dragonfire with Khan, and we didn't think it was truly terrible. But it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. We did spend... Did we watch two episodes? Just took the piss out of it, I think.
I'm not sure if watched is the right term. It was on.
It was on in the background, and we were just watching...
It didn't hold our attention.
Basically watching Mel trying to... But, I almost called it Bonnie Tyler there. That would have been a very, very different now.
Oh, that would have been superb. I'd have been all over that.
Trying to watch Sophie Aldred and Bonnie Langford try and create some kind of tension between each other. It was awful.
Yeah.
And it's got a literal cliffhanger, which I still to this day don't understand.
God, why yes. Oh, that was
it's
just...
not very often that something like that can be used better in other episodes featuring Clara. Probably the only example.
That's right. Yeah. I've also read the novel. I used to read the Target books. Right? I've read the novelization of Dragonfire, and I can't remember if that chapter ended with "and for no fucking reason."
I bet it did. I absolutely bet it did. The doctor said, what's the point of... Oh, here we go. Oh, good. That's got them sorted. The doctor said, what's the point of doing that? And did it anyway. The end.
there's another... In season 25, again, deviate from my specialist subject, Mastermind Beats the Resident Evil. There's a moment in season 25 of Remembrance of the Daleks, the end of episode 3, where the doctor breaks the fourth wall. And looks directly at the camera and says something as well.
Does he?
Yeah. He says there's absolutely no way the Daleks are going to collapse.
You paid an awful lot of attention to Doctor Who episodes with Ace in, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You really concentrated.
There's no way the Daleks are going to land on the planet, and then the spaceship lands, and all the windows explode and stuff, and then the Doctor just looks directly at the camera and says, I think I miscalculated. and it's one of the few times that when you get the kind of next episode, you know, they usually show you the last few episodes, the last few seconds last episode. He doesn't break the fourth wall in the recap. Just goes directly into the episode. I don't know why that popped in my head. Anything except for talking about this episode, basically.
Did we obviously missed a bit somewhere. Why did she have a gun in her house coat?
Because it's the 40s, it's a different time.
Yeah. You don't need a gun.
I mean, I know they gave gas masks out to everyone. I didn't think they went around giving out service revolvers to everyone. I could be wrong, I wasn't around in the 40s, but my memory of tales from my grandparents wasn't that we had to go out and gas masks and a service revolver. And if that was the case, no one's given me the family service revolver. And I do have the gas mask.
You weren't paying attention, obviously.
I can't believe that.
I have trouble believing that. It's the best of McCoy's fault.
Yeah, definitely. It's because Ace isn't in it.
Yep.
You'd be paying attention if she was.
I would. Which obviously back when I was when Ace was in Doctor Who, I was aged 10 when she first arrived, and then when Doctor Who finished his first run, I was 12, and it was probably less creepy for me to go, oh, there's Ace.
it was
now to a 43-year-old man.
It was less creepy then, but it was still wrong. I'm still wishing Bonnie Tyler had been in it. But Bonnie, right? Total Eclipse of the Daleks.
Although I have to say, if you watched the trailer for the season 24 Blu-ray, Bonnie Langford has aged very well.
To be fair, she has, but then I guess she's one of those healthy, positive, happy people.
Yeah.
And they don't age, the bastards.
Yeah, no, who needs that?
Oh, shock news alert. Did you know Russ Abbott isn't dead?
Yes.
I did know Russ Abbott wasn't dead, but when I saw that picture, I was very, very confused that Russ Abbott was randomly there in Barbados.
Yeah, that I did not understand. Also, very, very, very close to someone he hadn't bubbled with during a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And now Tom Moore's dead.
I'm sure the two facts are entirely unrelated.
Unrelated.
Although he did die of COVID.
It's that Russ Abbott killed a national treasure.
Russ Abbott killed a national treasure, and that national treasure wasn't Cliff Richard, and he was standing right by him.
No, it was Bella Renberg. Who saw that coming? They always seemed so close.
So actually, it turns out that Captain Tom wasn't really Captain Tom. It was Bella Renberg in disguise. For our younger listeners, do go and Google Bella Renberg.
Is still alive?
No, she's not.
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay. 3 years ago.
God, I thought it was years ago.
She was another one when I heard she died. My first thought was, is it?
Yeah.
You're not dead already?
No, this is it.
Someone else in Doctor Who just didn't mourn at the time.
I think there's a long list of celebrities I'm going to find out aren't dead at some point. Probably when they actually die.
When they actually die, that's usually what happens. And it's made all the worse by the fact that sometimes people just, for no reason, share celebrity deaths from like 2014.
That's still my favourite thing ever on the internet.
We're actually due another Tony Hart death in about 2 weeks.
Gene Wilder's probably ready to die again as well.
Do you know what? Those two are the unluckiest bastards around. They die on a regular basis.
Tony Hart has died every year for 13 years.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I think that because that's the old search thing and it pumps it back up the queue on BBC's website. And I think Tony Hart is that exact, the pinnacle, the epitome of this conversation, that every year someone goes, is he dead? I don't know. And they Google it. And then the shop
is... Oh, God, it's just died. Let's stick it on Facebook.
Yeah, oh, my God, he's actually dead.
You're up there with Morph now. I was in London when Tony Hart died, and...
Which occasion?
The first one. All right,
the proper one.
And outside the Tate Gallery, people had made their own Morphs and just sat them in a row outside the Tate Gallery.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like a guard of honour.
I still think...
But no one ever thinks
things about Chaz, do they?
I was about to say, I reckon Chaz killed him off. Chaz was a bastard.
Chaz and Morph, rabbit.
Chaz and Morph, they were great.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Yeah.
I got quite, because there was about five of them in the end, wasn't there? When they finally sort of expanded the Morphiverse.
The Morphiverse, into the Morphiverse.
There was Chaz, Morph.
Oh, there's actually a video.
What?
There is a video on YouTube of the Morph Flash Mob tribute to Tony Hart. 2nd of March 2009, a plasticine army of Morphs gathered outside Tate Modern yesterday in memory of one of Britain's favourite television presenters. There you go.
You didn't make it up. Doctor Who will return in the army of Morphs.
You could at least pretend you're watching the fucking episode.
Morph's more interesting.
That's very true.
Hang on, I'm going to put a picture in chat for this.
I'm hoping that somebody CGI's Morph into this rather than those wooden statues. So then you get Morph.
There you go. See, I wasn't making it up.
Excellent.
Some of those are really bad morphs. Those two at the front don't look well.
Oh, somebody put their heart and soul into that, and you just dissed their morph.
I did.
Dissed morph. Dissed
morph,
yeah.
Nice.
There we go.
Excellent. Who knew they were having a guest appearance
on
the podcast?
Yeah, I know. That was a cameo appearance from the Amazon delivery man, who wasn't my usual Amazon delivery man. There we go.
Fantastic. Now we get the start of Empire Strikes Back.
Hey!
I want some speeders to tie his legs together. Come on.
Quick.
And again, you actually saw that kind of coming towards him. And that scene there, you saw it kind of heading towards him, and it had that really bad kind of stop motion for a second. It used to get like the Argonauts.
Yeah,
but that's really bad.
It's really bad.
Oh, that's.
Can we just point out that Madge knows how to drive a spaceship?
This is my argument about Wrath of Khan, and actually perspective is out, she's too close to it from the cockpit anyway. That's not important. That's my argument about Wrath of Khan, is they suddenly all rock up on a spaceship they never met before and immediately know what all the controls do.
Yeah.
Unless in her case she could have been given a quick lesson from the three people she had held at gunpoint.
And it does look like it has just two big levers, so I mean it's probably quite easy.
Well, that's all you need to do the uppy downy thing for lifting and dropping cows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fine, she can pilot a spaceship, but can she pilot two cows?
Now, the problem with piloting two cows is that they operate independently.
I know there's too many controls.
Yeah.
That you need to be able to move.
The real question here is, she can pilot a spaceship, but can she pilot her way back into her children's hearts?
Oh.
Well, no, that's why the doctor has to bring back her dead husband.
Spoiler alert!
I've mentioned it several times. It's one of the shittest ends to an episode of Doctor Who. In fact, if not the shittiest.
Well, haven't we already discussed that the shittiest is hanging from a cliff by an umbrella?
No, this is worse.
Oh, God.
I do honestly think what might have been shitting would be if he tried and failed. Went, oh, your husband's sorry.
Well, actually, given the fact he spent an entire series going around with just a Cyberman's head... He could have just presented the husband's head,
yep.
And go, just keep talking to him.
Or imagine in a Dorian style, just like, guess who's in here?
Yay!
I'm in immense pain. Get away, Richard.
That would have been absolutely superb.
Is beheading on the board?
So that's not Alexander Armstrong, that's Ben Miller. Wrong one.
Well, you say that. I mean, most people can't tell the two of them apart anyway. I mean, the Miller and Armstrong, Armstrong and Miller show is basically one person. They just ran around a lot.
And people used to get it mixed up with Mitchell and Webb anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I really like that sketch from Armstrong and Miller when they did a Read the Baddies. No, that was Mitchell and Webb. I like the one with...
I'm not sure.
I think people get confused because obviously Armstrong and Miller, like everyone knows that Ben Miller is the talent there, is actually the funny one.
And yet,
similarly, David Mitchell is the funny one.
Yes.
So it'd be a very, very 2021 thing if they did a big collaboration with the talented ones and we ended up with Armstrong and Webb.
Yes. Although, can I just point out that we can't say that Webb isn't a talented one anymore because he did almost die.
Okay.
Yeah, did you not hear about that?
No.
He went in to have his standard insurance medical before they started filming the new series of whatever shit's on at the moment and discovered that he had a major heart defect that had been previously undetected.
What? Yeah.
And he suddenly had to have open heart surgery. And he was...
I don't know that.
Yeah, there was a big piece in The Guardian last year, I think. The other one talked about it on Graham Norton recently, but it was a big piece in The Guardian that he wrote about how he kind of sort of suddenly realised he was mortal at a very young age. You and him have a lot in common now.
We do. We're both mortal.
Yeah, and not funny. Hey, you walked into that one.
What walked into your web?
My web of lies.
Your web of truth.
I'm not sure we can use heart issues as an excuse for someone being a shitty person.
No.
You sure?
I'm not sure we can.
Well, I think we have to, don't we?
Since I did just look up Gary Glitter heart attack and he had one in 2008. But it's fine. Anything he did before is absolutely fine because he had an heart attack.
Why are you thinking about me and you decided to chase you Gary Glitter into the heart attack?
I'm a little curious where you go from John, Robert Webb, Gary Glitter.
I was thinking Robert Webb, and I'm not thinking John. I'm not including John in this. We were talking about Robert Webb, and I was talking about his shitty takes before the heart issue.
I'm just the train of thought there is quite scary. That's quite bad.
Certainly, I'm not even good enough to be on a list with Robert Webb and Gary Glitter.
Well, oh. To be fair, there is one list. No.
Making a list check. And it's we're going to find out who's naughty and nice. There we go. A wee Christmas doll back.
But it's also why you have to show Santa your medical records, because if you had a heart attack, you're automatically on the nice list.
Yes.
Look at Father, he looks so young. No, he doesn't. He looks exactly like Alexander Armstrong does, and Alexander Armstrong has looked 50 for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I like the fact that in order to make him look younger, they just dyed his hair slightly.
Yeah.
And he didn't even make it ginger.
No. I wouldn't...
No. Show the father's death. They need to know everything.
Look, children shouldn't be cosseted and cuddled and shielded from the world at that age. They should be given the raw truth and be damaged forever. It was good enough for me, according to my therapist.
It's a lovely Christmas tale.
I can't work out if she's in pain or really enjoying the ride.
Study my life.
Oh, God, for some reason I thought that was briefly Richard Hammond coming up from the back of the plane.
Yeah, the guy at speed, that's not going to end well.
You actually see the doctor see him and he just turns around and says, I'm so sorry, he just blows the
plane
up.
Six moment in time, motherfuckers.
Oh, will the plane survive? Oh, there's Richard Hammond, no. Don't make him act.
It's better than making him sing.
Well, that's very true.
How can we do this going through? Let's just make the ship look like a golf ball.
Yeah, that'll do it. And then it just lands magically.
Jesus Christ.
It really is quite bad.
just went now.
How do you, they say that they're just wood now, they've been emptied. How do you empty a tree?
Good question.
I like the fact even Morgan's bored now and yawning.
Souls of the trees, rise amongst the stars. This is just pretentious wank.
This is more depressing than maths.
That is the best summary of this episode that you're ever going to hear.
What was that?
This episode is more depressing than maths. Thank you, Morgan.
Did you say it's more depressing than maths?
Yep, she nailed it. She's absolutely nailed it.
Well, Scott's not even in the podcast and he's screaming next door, so that's what bad this episode. That's what he's tears.
Oh, it is that bad an episode. It makes you cry next door.
He was being asked to tidy his room.
Are you sure he didn't follow Daddy's fine example and shove his finger in a cat's ear?
Well, I am still the only person in this house that's not been kind of attacked by the cat. So I'm the favourite.
You clearly are. Or they're saving you.
Exactly. That's it. This is going to be a biggie.
Do you know what? I'm now up to 3 scars on the back of my hand from my little furry bastard.
Yeah. The ones that you posted were pretty. I got
your cat keeps on seeing a silence and is just marking on you because they can't hold a felt tip pen.
that's arguably more chilling and more reasonable.
Yeah.
Although it would suggest that he's either not paying that much attention or the silence doesn't really care that much because he's not around very often. Oh, here we go. This is the parenting moment. I just realised how little Bill Bailey was in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking hell, he just turned up.
Basically 2 scenes.
Yeah, had a gun pointed at him and got tied to a tree. That was it. The fucking point of having you on the...
That is technically more than he's been in any other episode of Doctor Who.
That's true. I mean, it's almost like there was a public vote and they didn't like what he was doing, so he got booted off. That's just why he went off to learn how to dance.
Imagine Dorian, played by Bill Bailey.
Yes. That would have worked really well.
I'm just now imagining that, like, they should just have Bill Bailey get tied to a tree in every episode.
I'd take that, actually.
Yeah. And they can only get him for one episode, and they just use archive footage.
I'm actually thinking, I would possibly rather have had Bill Bailey in the Greg Davis role. And Greg Davis was good. But Bill Bailey would be fun doing.
Hang on. The other guy survived as well.
What?
The other guy who was in the cockpit with him, he survived as well. Where's he?
Are you sure?
They both went through the vortex.
Yeah.
Yes, good point.
So where's the other guy?
I think that Daddy ate him on the way in because he'd been away for a while.
He's sprinkling roses on the bed up the stairs.
Literally, there were 2 people in that cockpit. They've gone through there. And now,
yep.
Alexander Armstrong is alive. Still hate this ending. Where's the other guy? And I want to see what happens when the other guy goes home without any of this backstory and explanation and has to go and explain that he's actually alive. I want to see that.
Yeah. Darling, I'm home. Who's he? That's just...
But it doesn't explain. Where's the other guy?
I mean, presumably he's I don't know, he's had his head stoked. I think an alive thing has happened and Alexander Armstrong killed him and ate him on the way in.
Even if they just had him wandering about in the background, just kind of going,
Yeah, that would have done. Unless he, you know, Alexander Armstrong is an alive man. He's been locked in a little confined space for quite a while. Might have got certain urges. Maybe the other guy was just still strapped to the spare chair at the back of the cockpit.
I'm actually disgusted that Chris Chibnall hasn't addressed this.
Oh, it's matter of time.
Yeah, it needs to go.
If this isn't the 2021-22 New Year's Day special, I'll eat a tree.
if that co-pilot isn't the timeless child,
yes,
I'm out.
Yes, or the co-pilot becomes the new doctor.
Yeah. And then just why didn't you see me earlier? Wibbly wobbly,
timey-wimey, yeah. Fixed point in time. He was actually the doctor crossing over and helping himself from a point in the future. There you go. That's why he couldn't meet himself. Ah, he is. It was the doctor in the plane all along.
Somebody's going to reference this in Doctor Who, like season 40.
Yep.
And people are going to say, I can't believe they destroyed the canon.
You do realise that when they guest reference in season 40, we'll be sitting here talking about it still in lockdown.
Yep. Morgan will be here with one of her kids.
She'll have broken lockdown at some point.
It's a story. It's the kind of story.
Sam Stockman, the co-pilot, doesn't even have an IMDb page. Come on.
No. Oh.
Maybe he was only allowed to be in a certain amount of scenes.
Maybe he wasn't equity, so he's not allowed to exist. In fact, the equity guardians went and took him out and killed him.
I'm going to blame Amy's crack.
Often blamed for a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Ooh. Alexander Armstrong looking puzzled.
Oh, the only good thing about the episode, we get the I'm the Doctor thing. Briefly.
What the hell is that? Just to take
a return. Those are the time vortex. I think it would have been so much better if they just got Hugh Dennis in to do that bit. Oh no. Which door is he knocking on now? That's not the front door of the house he bought them in London.
That's not a real gun.
There's that point as well. I'm sure that's not their house in London that he bought them.
Why is nobody online asking this question? That's annoyed me.
Which particular question? You're still on the co-pilot.
The bloody co-pilot.
I love the fact that you care about the little people.
I care about continuity.
Well,
Cam's going to have to tick a box now. Or continuity.
Continuity. Yeah, I'm going to tick that box.
We missed that point, didn't we?
I'm not sure that it counts.
The start of this episode was on Androzani Major.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't.
To link back to the caves.
I didn't see the signpost.
Bees.
I mean, normally they go running past a little thing, welcome to the caves of Androzani, and I didn't see that.
The literally signposting things for you.
Yeah, I prefer that.
Considered one of Peter Davison's finest stories, and then they reuse Androzani for one of Matt Smith's worst.
Perfect. How fitting. Where's Rory's car? If we're on the continuity bandwagon, where's Rory's car?
Co-pilot drove off with it.
I can believe that. Oh, God, he's looking confused again.
And this was the first episode with Caroline Skinner as the executive producer, and her last was the end of series 7, before the special. So we can put quite easily pinpoint one of the issues with this... This series, starting from here, on one person. That's interesting. I did not know that.
You feel slightly better that there is just one person to blame.
Yeah, I just wish it was... someone else, because I'm sure that Caroline Skinner's lovely. But
well, she might be, but she can't. Wonder if she's Claire Skinner's sister.
That's why I looked her up, because I was thinking, because I'm on the trivia and it said this is the special to the debut of Caroline Skinner as the executive producer. I was just thinking, shall we look for nepotism where none may exist?
Oh, I think we should.
And none exists from what I can see.
Oh, boo. Executive producers, Stephen Moffat, Piers Wenger. It sounds like an awful mashup between a terrible TV presenter and a former football manager.
Now you're thinking of Arsene Morgan.
That's right. I probably am. I think she's actually Arsene Morgan's gone.
She's down here.
There is only one spoiler in the IMDb trivia, and it is the front door to Amy and Rory's house is the exact same shade of blue as the TARDIS. That's literally it. As a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. That's just fucking obvious.
It's a spoiler that they're in, I suppose.
Oh, okay. Suppose, yes. Yeah, the colour of the door isn't the spoiler. Whose door it is a little bit more spoilery. Right, so there we go. More boring than maths. More depressing than maths. That was it. More depressing than maths. That
what
was.
What was this more boring, man?
Double maths.
I would rather. It's most likely for me to float up to space than for anyone to enjoy this.
There you go. It's more likely that Morgan will be able to fly to space than anyone would enjoy it. Without a rocket.
Sorry, Stephen Moffat, that's your target audience talking, and she thinks it was terrible, and she has more chance of going up into space, and possibly then finding that there's a blowing up spaceship thing going.
It wasn't
Moffat's finest. No, it did feel at this point like they were just doing the specials because they always did a special.
Yeah.
Rather than doing anything good with it.
That happened quite a lot with the kind of Christmas ones. I quite like the next one. I like the snowman.
The snowman's good because it serves a purpose, and obviously we've got certain characters returning for that one as well.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, really, that is probably. Well, yeah, I'm wrong. I already know I'm wrong in what I was going to say. I was going to say that's like what the only Christmas special that actually leads into a part of a story arc. That's not true, because Christmas Invasion does it too.
Yeah.
Doctor's Hand. I can't say
every single regeneration at Christmas also leads in.
Yeah, no. But I mean in terms of the fact that something happens in the snowman that has implications in the season 7 finale, which isn't something that the Christmas specials usually remain quite separate, even if they are Doctor regenerating stories or whatever.
Yeah.
True.
So, right. So we've come to grinding halt at the end of season 6. Now, when we watched the last episode of season 6, we said, shall we talk about season 6? And you said, no, we'll talk about season 6 when we've watched this episode. So now we've depressed ourselves and can't muster up any energy to say anything insightful. What did we think of season 6?
Okay, so season 6 starts strongly.
Yep.
Very strongly, actually, with a two-parter. Then it has far too much filler. Sorry, it doesn't have far too much filler, because season 6 has a lot of filler, but then so does season 5. It has bad filler.
Yes.
As demonstrated by the episodes that we chose to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
We chose one episode, which was effectively a filler episode, and The Girl Who Waited, which should have been so much better than it was. But
yeah.
Again, just quite dull. It looked nice, but it was just quite dull and
the dull quota for that series was worryingly high, wasn't it?
Yeah. But in season 6 is the first two episodes, then the middle two episodes, and then the final episode. And everything else is a massive step below it.
Yeah. I do like the season 6 arc. And maybe we have started to get greedy about what an arc means, because, I mean, if you go back to kind of Russell T. Davis era, his idea of kind of the first arc was really, you said bad wolf in every episode, and then it made sense in the finale. But to be honest, you know, Moffat does it slightly differently, and but because he makes the arc more kind of, you know, overarching, for want of a better phrase, you actually do feel that the non-arc stories seem like really badly slotted in.
Yeah, because Buffy came up last time round, I think it was. And yes, you said about that kind of did make me think about Buffy again, in that, I've forgotten his name. Josh Whedon. Josh Whedon, thank you. He had an over a big arc for, because they were working on 24 episodes.
Yeah.
And he had the big arc, but during the course of the series, you forgot the arc for a couple of episodes here and there, but it still fitted in seamlessly. It didn't feel like you were going, right, this week, arc, next week, pff, random crap.
Yeah.
And season six really did feel like...
There's a really good recent show which I can bring up, which did that absolutely perfect, and that was iZombie in the first two series of that.
Okay.
I've still not watched it.
Well, iZombie, the first two series, you have the arc, but because the series is still trying to establish characters and build a world for the viewer to watch and to enjoy.
Yeah.
There are an absolute ton of filler episodes in the first two series, but it doesn't matter because it's effectively crime, comedy, drama.
Yeah.
And it works really, really well. Then you get to series three and arc, and it starts to dip quite dramatically by the end of the I think the fifth and final series.
Wow, they got to five series.
Yeah, I think it was five. Worth watching.
I loved the comics, and then I started watching the series, and it just didn't have the same...
How far did you get, though?
Two episodes.
It's actually worth sticking with.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it up until... I watched all... It's like one of the only recent series I watched from beginning to end and enjoyed.
Okay.
But I was watching... When they were coming on Netflix, I was watching them... I was just binging them, and that was ace. By the time the fifth series came around, I watched one episode and then went back like 4 months later to finish off the rest.
Oh.
That's not a good sign.
No.
That's not a good sign. But in terms of those first two series and what you're saying about Buffy and having filler episodes, which are meaningless, it's the closest recent comparison I can think of.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the crime thing there, because Bones, at its peak, was working on a similar thing. That they had a big bad who was hunting them or they were hunting over the course of 24 episodes. And some of the crime stories linked into that, but the other ones, it didn't matter because they were still doing a crime investigation. And
you could just dip into... Well, you can still do it now. I do it now. You can dip into a Bones.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's...
No, this is it. They do work as standalones. Whereas the Doctor Who ones, it feels like the ones that aren't part of the arc... don't matter. And if you never saw them, you wouldn't be missing anything and you wouldn't be having a nice little bit of TV to watch. It's just not that good.
We could say that series one and two of Doctor Who did a lot better.
Yeah.
And three, particularly three, actually, and three and four. And maybe that's what Moffat did wrong.
Yeah, I think it is actually a Moffat problem. I actually think that Russell T. Davies approached art much better. And I actually think Steve Moffat actually approached the arcs because Russell T. Davies did it. I think it had been almost too... Because Chibnall was basically given hell for the fact that Series 11 didn't have an arc.
Yeah.
You know, and then you think... Well,
how did Season 11 not have an arc? We had a big bad in Episode 1 and a big bad in Episode 2. That's an arc with a silly name.
Yeah. But you look at...
And don't forget Ryan's bike. That's the biggest story arc we've had in modern two-season arc.
But you look at
the crack, Ryan's bike.
But I'm going to defend Chibnall here because he had the bright idea of where you have peaks and troughs. He saw that as an obvious problem and just gave us all troughs. Hey, problem solved.
Frog on a chair. What's this? We've got the first compelling episode since... I quite like Kablam. First compelling episode, though, since episode one of The Woman That Fell to Earth. We've got a compelling episode frog on a chair. So you know to ruin it in Series 11.
Yep.
You know to ruin our expectations. That's fine.
Yep, totally. I think to be honest with you, if you aren't watching Doctor Who and occasionally going, what the hell am I watching this for? Doctor Who isn't doing its job.
The moon is an egg. Oh, that's coming up soon. Ish.
Are we watching that one?
Don't know.
I can't remember which one it is, but probably if it's a crap episode, the way Laura's gone about the next two series, I suspect it's on the list.
It's series eight, so yes.
Kill the Moon's
on there.
Oh no! Can we at least watch the last 5 minutes of the moon just being laid?
deserves a good time too.
Yeah, moons have feelings. They have needs.
The moon is an egg.
But yeah,
it sounds like some mid-90s Britpop lyrics, just nonsensical shit like that.
The
moon's an egg. That was brilliant lyricism.
That just sounds very Ian Brown.
Yeah.
Dolphins were monkeys.
The moon is an egg. Tumur. the moon is an egg. This.
And don't forget that we're.
Mother is.
An egg.
An egg. Yeah. Tom Moore is an egg. No.
No, the fact that he decided to morph into political commentary was not his best career move.
No.
Oh, gosh, no, I'm sorry.
I know, the worst career move since Second Coming.
It's a thing I find fascinating that as Doctor Who fans, we can sit there and go, God, that's really terrible. But it's never, ever been so bad that we walked away from the show. I suspect we'll be repeating this conversation for the next series 7 and 8 as well. What is it about this show that just keeps you going?
Necessity.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the mother of something. Mother of the moon.
There's an element of nostalgia, isn't there? And there's also, do you know, the way I look at it as well is I know that they're not writing this show for me. And I think that's the problem with a lot of these people kind of online now is they forget that the show is not actually being written for them anymore.
No.
No, it's written for people who are wearing towels. Why is everyone wearing
towels? It's a blanket.
It's a blanket.
It's like a towel.
It's like a towel. Yeah, to be fair, she was pouring water over her head earlier, so I mean, it kind of fits. But when the towel-wearing water wearers are muttering about how depressing an episode is, you've got to wonder, who are they writing that one for?
I'm wondering which forums you're going on when there are 10-year-olds spouting opinions about Doctor Who.
I'm wondering what forums you're going on in general. Are they just talking to 10-year-olds?
Can we move on? Can we move on? My career at the BBC is in jeopardy.
No, that's the safest career. Job
for life. Job for the boys.
Very much for the boys, yes. Moving on. The reason why Top of the Pops got canned. I hadn't really occurred to me before, but I find it fascinating that, and we're not the only ones, forums up and down the internet are awash with people going, I hate this show, and yet they still watch it. Yeah. Although there's always at least one person who wades in and goes, I hate this program and I've only watched one episode. Well, goodbye, good for you. But what is it? I mean, if you think back to when we were watching it first time round, when it was first out, you had a reason to watch the next weeks because you've got part one, part two, part three, part four. But now you've got 45-minute episodes that are all in one. There isn't really a need to go to the next and the next and the next other than emotion, like you said, and nostalgia.
As you say that, I am going to look for the viewing figures for Trial of Time Lord, just to see if people did continue to watch.
That might not be the best example to go for, to back my argument up.
I can't think of a better example of a story.
Oh, yeah, the thing is, they were wrong. Trial of the Time Lord was fantastic.
It would never cross my mind to not watch it. I mean, I might only watch an episode once because I really didn't like it, but I would never watch an episode and go, and that's the thing as well, because if you're this invested in a show, and it's the same again if you were talking about Buffy or the X-Files or whatever, just didn't like that episode, it didn't make you say, well, I'm never watching that again, because you always knew the next episode might be better.
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because you knew how good it could be, you stayed with it because you... Even on the really bad episodes, never mind, there'll be a better one along.
Yeah.
Can I just point out?
Go on.
Can I just point out, starting off with The Mysterious Planet.
Yep.
Yep.
Trial of the Time Lord. 4.9 million, 3.7 million by the end of that portion of the story. Mind Warp, 4.8, 4.6, 5.15.
Ooh.
Terror of the Vervoids, 5.2, 4.6, 5.3, 5.3. Ooh. And The Ultimate Foe, 4.4. And 5.6, so do you know what? There may well be something in that.
Hey!
Maybe I actually did choose the best example, Khan.
Hey, thank you. I knew I could trust you.
but remember, there were only four channels then.
You tell that to today, they won't believe
it. So to have 4.8 million from a show that was well in the tens only 5 years before, 4 years before.
Yeah. Were there four channels then, or was it...
Yeah, there were four channels in 1986.
Yeah, there were, yeah.
Channel 4 was 1982.
Yeah. But Channel 4 didn't have anything good on at that point.
I'd calm down. Leave it alone.
I stand by my claim. Running chaps, so that is the end of season 6, and that is the end of pieces of wood running around killing children.
And for now, we don't know what John's going to be doing after the camera goes off.
We will be back to chat our way through the start of season 7. I assume we are starting at the very start of season 7 because that would be
Asylum's down there. Yes, yeah. I like Asylum.
That would be tradition. In the meantime, that has been the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast Directionless Commentary Special Edition Doctor Who Shebangery. Heads popped up again. Over on that side, it's John and Morgan.
Bye.
And over on that side, you don't have the authority. It's Laura.
Bye.
And we will be back with you very, very soon. Thank you very much and goodbye.